How many of you guys have been blessed with children? They can be grown, right? How many of you guys were at one time a child? So we're all on the same page. Okay, good. Well, hey, if we haven't had a chance to meet, my name is Matt, and I serve as one of the pastors here at New City. And this is my first Sunday back from a two-month sabbatical that the elders blessed me with. And, man, it was great for me to get away for those 60 days. I needed it. Pastor Dan said it best last Sunday. Dan was a coach of mine, a friend of mine, and he was here on Sunday. And one of you guys said, man, it seemed that Matt was pretty tired last in the spring. And Dan goes, he wasn't burned out, but he was pretty crispy, right? And the break allowed me to kind of just refocus. And honestly, I think we'll all be better for it. I hope so. But as I got prepared for the break, the last thing that I was doing was Oshawnee Days. And several of you volunteered and partnered with me. And as you guys know, I put in a lot of hours at Oshawnee Days. I, like, love that thing. But I would go home during that weekend, and I did something that was really getting me prepared for my sabbatical. I would open up my iCal on my computer, and I began to delete all of my appointments in June and July. Because I don't know if you do your life by a calendar, but I live my life by a calendar. And, like, I have blocks on meeting block. And I think some meetings are reoccurring, and men going through there and hitting delete. For 2 months, oh, my smile. And the low, I mean, it was awesome. But there's things on my calendar, too, that I didn't delete, of course, like the baseball practices and the doctor's appointments, the personal things. And so, man, when I'm done, I've got this clear calendar, and I begin to fill in it, all the things that I knew we were going to do on the sabbatical, like where we were going to be with family, and just it was beginning to be filled with things that I knew was going to be fun. Well, that afternoon, when I finally finish it, and Jen comes home, she's like, I don't even know if Jen's in the room, so I can make the story however I want it to go. But Jen's my wife. And she goes, what did you do? And I go, no, guys, sometimes you just got to play dumb, right? Because there are several things that I have done, right? And so I'm like, I don't know. She goes, what did you do to our calendar? And I go, time out. I didn't do anything to our calendar. You know, like, I deleted all of my work stuff. She goes, no, you deleted everything from our calendar. She goes, I don't know when Luke's baseball practices are or what fields they're on. I know the kids have a doctor's appointment coming up, a well check, and I have no idea what time it is. I think it's on a Thursday. And so I'm in trouble, right? So I start my sabbatical being in trouble because I did something. And I'm like, I did not do this. I'm like, it must be a glitch in iCal. Jen, I promise you I did not do this. And so that's how my sabbatical began, right? Chasing down coaches, when was practice, what fields. And so I'm like, gosh. Okay, fast forward 6 weeks. We're in Memphis, Tennessee at the Memphis International Airport, and we're waiting to catch a flight to take us to Fort Lauderdale to spend a few weeks with her parents. That's where Jen grew up. And our flight gets delayed, and so I don't like to sit still. I know that may be surprising to some of you. And so I said, hey, the girls got little iPods for their birthday, and they don't have that. I didn't want them to. One's already dropped it and cracked it. And so I said, hey, let's go get one of those little pop socket things. Come here, you. You know those pop socket things that some of you have on your phone? And kids are holding it. Somebody nods, so I know I'm not stupid. Okay, thank you. You can talk here. And so I'm like, hey, let's go get you one of each for your iPods. So let's go down here to the airport and let's pay three times the price for what we can get at Walmart. So let's go to them. So we're walking, and as we're walking, Christy's the only one that wanted to go with me. The other two were on their devices, and so Christy loves to hold Daddy's hand, right? She's my little princess. She's 9 years old. She's a twin. And we're walking through, and we're just talking, and I'm making fun of people that we pass, and she's like, Daddy, stop it, you know, and like doing things like that, and that's what I do. And anyway, so I'm holding her hand, I hear, ding, and it's her little iPod, ding, and I said, who is messaging you? She looks at it, she goes, oh, nobody, it's Mom added stuff to the calendar. I usually just delete it. And I just go, I mean, we stopped in the middle. And I said, what? She goes, you know, like Luke's baseball. So I just delete it. And this is what I said. You can send me an email. I'll delete it. She goes, I go, you little fart. You know how much trouble I have been in because of you. And boy, Jen thought that was so funny. Here's the point. Your kids, even your best kid can get between mommy and daddy. Right? And so that's how, funny. So why are we going to spend several weeks, when we're back in school, why are we going to spend several weeks talking about kids when I realize that some of you don't have children and that's not your stage of life or you feel like you're out of that stage of life? Here's why. It's because family is a big value at New City Church. And being a parent is challenging. Being a grandparent is hard. It doesn't matter if you have a brand new newborn or your kids are in, they're making you grandbabies, right? It's a challenging in different seasons of parenting. And oftentimes, this is how it feels. It feels like we are on that desert island, and that's actually me and Jen. But we just feel like we're all alone. We feel like we're all alone, and our kids are driving us crazy. They're deleting our calendars. They're causing problems, right? And we're just like trying to figure it out. Here's the thing. What I want you to know is we value family at New City Church. We say it like this. We value our family, this church family. Like, I value this. Like, I value the fact that with the many different types of people that we have here, that we have to work towards a unity in our family, right? And that's something, as one of the pastors, that I'm going to protect is the unity of this family. Not only do we value our family, we value your family. Like, what happens at your home and how you go about your day and how your kids are doing. Like, we value that. And we value the next family. What's that mean? Well, I met several brand new families today. Some who are coming in for the first time. Some that will probably just be here one Sunday and we may not ever see them again, right? But the next family is the newest family. And I want you to know that I hope that God gives you wisdom and insight that maybe this place becomes your church home. But we value the family. We value what goes on. And so sometimes we're going to lean in and talk about things that may not be specific to the whole, but it's really going to be beneficial to several of us in this room. Now, here's the deal. Today, even if you don't have kids, this is a leadership talk. This is a leadership message that I have geared specifically towards us parents. So it can be transferable principles no matter where you are in your life. And so I'm going to make a silly observation that you know to be true, but just hang with me, okay? Three kids in my home, Allie and Christy, they're twins. They're 9. Luke's 7 years old, okay? Fourth graders and second graders. They got the same mom and daddy, same dinner table, same car, same rhythms, same house, right? Same TV. We nobody has a different experience in my family, yet my three kids are uniquely different. Their personalities, their habits, are you with me? Now, if you just have one child, you might not understand this, but if you have more than one, right, your kids, same context, completely different multiple personalities. Do we agree? Everybody with me? Okay. We all know that. Here's a myth for most parents. Although we know that all of our kids are different, we sometimes make the mistake that we're going to parent them all the same. I know you're all different, but this is just how I do it. And because of that, sometimes your kids are going to miss out on the best parts of you because as moms and dads, we stop getting better as moms and dads. And so, again, you might have grown children. You know what? My dad is Jimmy Doyle Miller. I still have a dad. Right? I still have a dad. And how he parents me now is way different than how he parented me at 16 or at 6, right? But I still have a father that I have a chance to call and talk to. You may not have that, but you get the idea. There never comes a time where it just continues to build. And so as moms and dads in the rooms, we have to adjust. We'd say it like this morning, that we have to continue to seek wisdom and understanding. I want to start with a proverb that we've read or that I read while I was there. It's Proverbs 24:3. And this is how this is written. A house is built by wisdom, and it is established by understanding. A house is built by wisdom, and it is established by understanding. We talk about these two words a lot at New City Church. So if you're new, this is not like the idea of having wisdom is not a new concept. But let me define it for us if we've forgotten. Wisdom is simply knowing what to do and then doing it. Knowing the right thing and doing it. Just because you know it doesn't make you wise. You become wise when you do what you know to be true and right. Actually, if you know it and you don't do it, that's foolishness. But we want to be a people who are growing in our wisdom. What is God? What are we seeing take place? What is about to happen? What is the wise thing to do in the situation? And then how do I do it? Understanding is when you get it. Understanding is when it catches on. Understanding is where you go, oh, now I know why. Right? We understand something. And the writer of this proverb says that a house is built, your house is built on wisdom, knowing and doing, and established on understanding. Understanding what's taking place, getting the concept, getting the why behind it. Now, I said today is a leadership talk because here's the thing. If your house is divided, you're in trouble. I'm going to talk about some stuff today. I'm going to talk about pace, and I'm going to talk about growth, and I'm going to talk about need. But if you have an idea of what wisdom and understanding is, and they have an idea of what wisdom and understanding is, your family dynamic is in a mess, and your kids are going to miss out on a unified front. Now, if you are divorced and remarried, if you're separated, or maybe you're a blended family, there are so many different layers of complexity to that, right? But just because it's complex doesn't mean that you don't try to understand it and try to make it better. I want to share with you what I was reading this morning.
that talks about this house divided. It's in Mark chapter 3. It's not on the screens. This is just kind of something I saw today and I wanted to insert because it's very applicable. There's a time in the ministry of Jesus where he is doing some really cool miracles, and the religious people of his day were saying to each other and to people, he is doing those miracles and it's powered by Satan. He's doing all that good stuff, but it's powered by the devil because he's an evil guy. And Jesus understands this. And so in Mark chapter 3, verses 23 through 25, this is what Jesus says. So he summoned them and spoke to them in parables. How can Satan drive out Satan? If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. If a house is divided against itself, that house cannot stand. And so for us here today, moms and dads, people who are in charge of leading little ones, you have to get on the same page, right? It will not just happen. You need to know this. It will not work itself out. The gap will get bigger and bigger. The divide will just increase. And so somebody has to put on their big boy pants and put on their leadership hat and say, you know what? Let's step into this conversation. Let's do this for the sake of this house that we're trying to build on wisdom and understanding. Now, together, in this unified front, I want to talk about three areas where unity is really important. Today's a very broad stroke kind of message as we prepare for this series, and we'll dive into these thoughts more specifically as the weeks progress. But the first thing that I want to talk to you about is the speed of life. This is a place where your family has to be unified, and it's the speed of life. Here I'm talking about your pace. I'm talking about your pace that you chase after. Now, don't raise your hand, but how many of you thinking go, man, I'm just a busy parent. I'm taking my kids to all of these things. I've got school stuff, sports stuff, family stuff. I've got homework. As a parent, your life can get so full of things, right, that it begins to stress you out. And here's what most parents, most people, most humans do when they get stressed out. We grumble. You ever grumble? Anybody in the room ever been known to complain a little bit? Anybody? Everybody? Yeah, come on. You never complain about how busy your life is or complain about how you got to get here and you can't do this because you got to go that and you're missing the game over here because you got to take your kid to roller skate night. Like, nobody likes going to roller. Anyway, so like we got to do these things, right? We got to figure all this stuff out. Back in the spring, I found myself in a meeting or in a conversation with one of my mentors. His name's Mike Bickley, pastors at Relate the Bible Church. And Mike's a great, great friend of New City and of mine. And I was complaining. I was complaining about my work rhythms. I was complaining about my meeting schedules. I was complaining about you guys. I was like, I'm just upset. And you know what Mike did? He didn't go, oh, man, it's okay. Come here, buddy. You just need a hug. You know what he said to me? He looked me dead in the eye and he said what I needed to hear. He said this. He said, if you don't like it, change it. You're the leader. If you don't like it, mom and dad, that you're so busy, change it. You're the leader. Your kid is not driving your family van. Why in the world would you let them be in control of your schedule? If you're fine being busy, do not hear me say don't do stuff. I got three kids, three different things, right? Baseball, gymnastics, soccer, right? But it's not like we're sitting at home because we got to get Jeopardy and Wheel of Fortune and nobody can do anything, right? I'm not telling you what to do or not to do. Here's what I'm saying, that if your schedule is causing you to complain, stop complaining and change it. You're the leader. If your busy schedule is fine with your rhythm, have a ball. Don't hear me say you got to change it to look like me, because that's honestly the problem, right? Like, I think a lot of the reasons that us parents are busy is because we have the Johnson County mentality. Anybody familiar with the Johnson County mentality? You go to your school, right? And maybe it's your back-to-school night, and you start hearing all of these beautiful families talk about all the things that they do. Or your kids come home, and they talk about, well, she gets to do this, and she gets to do that. And all of a sudden, you feel this pressure as a parent that my kids are missing out if I don't do all of these things that all of their classmates are doing. And all of a sudden, we go, well, am I going to be a good dad? Am I going to be a good mom if my kid misses out on this great learning opportunity? Right? And all of a sudden, the expectations of people that you feel like you got to stay on top of begins to set your calendar for you, and you find yourself ping-ponging around to all of these things so that your kids will be. See, there is a statement that we've kind of grown up on if you're kind of in my generation. And actually, it's been around for a long time. And you've heard it if you haven't said it, and it's almost become like biblical canon. And the statement is something like this. Well, I just want my kids to have things that I didn't have growing up. Well, I want my kids to have the experience. I'm going to buy my kids the things I never had. Why? Why? Like, your parents are killing themselves because they've made that statement some absolute truth, and they're working overtime, triple time to get money for something that a kid doesn't even want to play with 3 months down the road. And we just wear ourselves out somehow with this crazy pace. And here's the deal. I'm going to kind of ask you this in a discipling way. Why? Why? Are you busy and stretched then because Jesus is saying he wants you that way? Or are you just caught up in the fact that this is just how it goes? And are you willing to take all of that stuff and put it at the feet of Jesus and say, can I do this? Should I do this? That's a scary thing as a parent. It is scary as a parent to say, Lord, here are all the things that we're involved in. Do you want me to be involved in these? Because your kid is going to throw a fit when you tell them no. One of our parents said, I'm so glad that you went on Facebook Live last night and said that the pool party was canceled because my kid wouldn't have believed me because they can't read. Like, last year's pool party got rained out. This year there was a chemical problem. Luke sat on the couch crying like, it's my fault, right? He looks at me like, I've been waiting for this for 2 years. I'm like, bro, you've swam for 60 days. You're going to be fine. I'll go put his head underwater is what I'm going to do, right? Of course, okay, I'm going to give you two scriptures, right? Romans 12:2, Paul says this to us. He says, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God change your perspective, change your calendar, change your heart by changing the way you think, right? And so sometimes you have to say, am I going to listen to the expectations of the culture that which I'm in, the context that I'm in, or am I going to say, man, Lord, what do you want me to do? Like, I don't want to be so busy that I can't enjoy my life. Because for me, watching Pee Wee soccer is not enjoyable. I'll do it. God bless her, I'll do it. And when she scores, I go crazy. It happened once. I'm like, yes, I'm that dad, right? Finally, it paid off. Thank you, Jesus, right? Right? But listen, not to copy the behaviors and customs. But like, God, what do you think? So now look at this next one. Matthew, these work well together. Matthew 11:28. Look what Jesus says. Come to me, all you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you what? Rest. See, that is a huge statement. And do you have enough faith to believe that he will do that? Do you have enough faith that if you come to Jesus, all of us who are tired, that he will give you rest? How does Jesus give us rest? Have you thought about that? Look what he says. Let me teach you because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light. The yoke. Like, following Jesus requires a yoke. Following Jesus is not yokeless. If you don't know what a yoke is, it's that deal that goes on the animal's neck that keep them towards the plow. It keeps them going towards the work that needs to be done. But to kind of help you understand why Jesus' yoke could be so easy for you to wear, think of it like this. What did Jesus say over and over? What did Jesus do? He did something. He healed, but he said this, I only do that which what? My Father tells me to do. Jesus didn't wake up in the morning and look outside and go, okay, who needs me? Anybody got any requests? I'm taking requests, right? Time in prayer. See, here's the thing. Come to me, and we meet God in his word, right? Like, if you want to know the secret sauce for whatever's going on in your life, it is this right here. It is abiding. It's remaining in Jesus. It is sitting with the Lord. That may sound so mystical and over your head, but I'm just telling you, the secret sauce to following Jesus and to having peace and understanding, come to me, all you who are weary, and I will give you rest. It starts right here. Because you know what? How it's so interesting. Jesus says, I only do that which the Father tells me to do. Guess what our relationship's like to Jesus? We're only to do that which Jesus asks us to do. And so when you begin to sit with the Lord and you begin to talk to him about your life and you talk to him about what the day holds, this dream, this prayer, this idea, and all of a sudden, you know what? When you're following Jesus, that yoke perfectly fits around your neck and shoulders. And I have a task. You have a task. You have work to do. We have work to do. There is fruit to bear, but it doesn't rub your neck raw. It doesn't hurt you because it was fitted perfectly for you because you and I are only doing that which God tells us to do, not chasing everything that everybody else expects of us or we think expects of us. Man, I'm telling you, this is a way deeper thing than just kind of flying by. This week, would you lean into those two scriptures? If you are busy, Why? Why are you so busy? Process that in your brain. Why am I so busy? Why do I feel the need to make all of this money? Why do I, why? And then go to Matthew 11, 28. And just say, Jesus, I don't know how to do this, but I'm coming to you. I'm coming to you. I'm coming to you. We got to have unity. Here's another area that would have unity. You ready for this one? The speed of growth. The pace, parents, you control. This one, you don't control at all, but we sure try. You guys notice how fast your kids are growing up? The things that they're asking? Like, kids learn more. They hear more things now, right? The world is at their fingertips with technology. Like, I remember this past year, one of the big things going on in my household was my son, specifically Luke, was really, really on-focused and intentional about discovering what the F word is. I didn't teach him it, but he really wanted to know, Dad, what's the F word? Right? And I mean, I'm telling you, I'm not making this stuff. Ask Jen, on an airplane, in a car, watching TV, at any time, out of nowhere, grab my arm. Dad, would you please tell me what the F word is? I promise I won't use it. No, no. And he'd go over there in his chair and he'd go, and he'd just try to sound it out, right? And I'm just like, dude, let it go. Let it go. He wants to know, right? Moms and dads, I doubt there are very few parents who sit back and say, I really hope my kids come in today and want to talk about sex because I'm ready to explain it to them. It doesn't happen. What happens is your kids come home from school and they ask you a question that you're totally not prepared for. Would you agree? And if your response is, no, we will not talk about it. I will control this stuff. Yeah, well, good. Somebody's going to talk to them about it. Somebody's going to teach your child. It's happened in my home. My girls are asking me about the three-letter word, right? S-E-X. And I've told them that in our conversations, we'll never make the platform here. So some of them are really funny, but I've committed to my daughters that that's a private, I'm not going to teach it, right? But I got hammered with some questions while we were on break. And I had read a book this year by Corrie Ten Boom called The Hiding Place. Anybody ever read that book? If you've never read The Hiding Place, you should read it. It's a fantastic book. And in that book, and this, I'm so glad I read it because it gave me a perfect example. I echoed something that I read in the book. One of my kids was asking me a heavy question, and we were in the process of traveling in an airport or somewhere. And I said, hey, I want you to pick up my suitcase. And so they tried. And of course, they can't move it, right? We get that thing to 50 pounds, right? And I said, honey, I said, the question that you're asking me is too heavy for you to carry right now. There'll come a time when you can handle that question, and at that time, Daddy will do his very best to explain it to you. But right here, right now, you can't handle it. She goes, okay. Went back to your life, right? And I'm like, oh my gosh, I almost unpacked something that she didn't even. I'm like, this is crazy, right? I almost. So, okay, here's the thing. I grew up in a farming culture, and so like right now in Northeast Arkansas, they're about to start harvesting the rice. Like the grains are there, and whether the farmer is ready to harvest or not, it's time. And when your kids come to you, there is no controlling that. Like you can't protect them from everything. I know we try, but we can't protect them. So when it happens, we have to nurture those moments and coach and lead our kids. I want to give you three quick ways to go about that. One is to observe. If you're so busy that you don't have any time to observe your kids, what I mean by that is opportunities to talk. For us, it's to and from school. For my family, it's sitting around the dinner table having dinner together. It's carving out opportunities for us to talk to our kids and find out what's going on. Hey, what happened at school today? Anything funny happen? It's amazing what you will hear when you ask just questions. The older your kids get, anybody got teenagers in the room? College kids? Adults? Yeah, the older your kids get, the sneakier you got to be. Like, here's what I want you to do. If you don't know how to do that, just start watching Life PD. You watch that show? Like, these cops are amazing, man. And if you've ever watched Life PD, like, you will automatically start feeling better about your life. I'm just saying, so do that anyway. How many times have I watched Life PD and I've looked over at Jen and I'm like, I'm so grateful that you're my wife. Anyway, so, but you got to have tactics to talking to your kids about what's going on in life, because the older they get, think about how you were at 16. I would have taken a bullet for my knucklehead friends. I would have. I would lie to my mom and my dad about questions they asked me about those guys because they're my buddies, right? And so, like, your kids, I know you think they're angels, but they will lie to your face and sit by you at church on Sunday. Observe. After you observe, when you see what's going on, you have to decide, what's the best? Yeah, yeah. Your kid's like, shut up, Matt. You're really messing up my gimmick, right? Well, I'm sorry. Listen, your kid's lying to you. And so after we observe to decide what do we need to do as a family? Like, what's the best next step? And the third one is act. Like, finish the plan. Don't just make a decision and then not do it. Lean into it. Say, hey, this is what's going to be best for you. Are they going to argue with you? Probably, right? Or it might be an opportunity for you to really encourage and bless them because what you're observing is a good, like, let's not just punish things and not reward things, right? But it's an opportunity for us. But that's the speed of growth. Last thing, here we go. This is how we're going to wrap up today, is the speed of need. Your kids need certain things from you, and this church needs certain things from myself and the eldership and the staff. Like, you are our spiritual family, and so the needs we see in our personal families, I also see within our church family. And so here's what we're going to do on this one, is we're going to push this next section out through you, through the blog, through Facebook Live, and through social media this week with some devotions for you to kind of continue to walk with us. I'm going to share with you what those are going to be, all right? So New City, the way that we function right now with our family ministry, it's paired like this. We have red, which is the heart of the family, and yellow, the light of the local church. When those two things come together, it makes the color orange, right? So you as a family, me as an individual family, I have a heart for my children, right? I have a lot of love for my children, red color. This church, we are the light of the world. We're the city on a hill. We don't put it under a bowl. So the yellow is the light of the church. And when you put the heart, your heart that you have for your kids, paired with the light from this church, it makes orange. Aren't you glad you came today, right? So right there you go. That's free. And so together, right? We work. I was a student pastor for 8 years. How many times do parents basically come to me, put their kid in my ministry, and say, fix my kid? We're not in the business of fixing your kid. We can't. We have your children for 1 hour on one Sunday a week. We can't fix your kid in an hour, right? But we can partner with you. We can partner with the heart that you have for your kid on what you're observing, on some gaps that you're seeing in your kid's life, and this church wants to and desires to come because we value you to partner with you in that. We do that in a variety of ways, what takes place on Sunday, what takes place midweek. But for us to do that effectively, I'm asking some of you and I'm inviting some of you to engage with us. For all of you who partner with us with this Say Yes to Summer, man, can I just say thank you for doing that? But summer is over, school is starting, lots of new families in the room today. And I'm telling you, God's about to give us a lot more families. And as a ministry, we have to be ready for that. And so I'm asking for your heart and the light of this church to partner together. And so the family ministry team is doing this volunteer kickoff. It's happening on Friday, August 24th at 6 p.m. I'm going to be a part of this. And we're going to cast a vision and extend the invitation for how you might. Just as Curtis is doing the worship arts night, this is for family ministry. Our families at our local schools, they can't be in isolation. If they choose isolation, we can't control that. But may we be at least the church that is the light that says, hey, we're here as a resource if you need us to be a resource. Because here are three things that every kid needs. First one is this. They need love and security. They need love and security. So two scriptures that we're going to study this week, throughout the week, is Proverbs 1 and Psalms 1. Proverbs 1 and Psalms 1, we're going to talk about this week. I have a 7-year-old son. His name is Luke. He's my favorite little boy on the planet. But I'll be honest with you. I'm not in the business of raising a spiritually ground 7-year-old. I'm in the business of raising a 37-year-old man who loves God and is leading his family well. That's where my focus is. When everything that I do with my boy is not because he's not staying 7. And your kid's not, they're growing. And man, I've got my eyes fixed, man. And he needs love and security for that to happen from his dad. Right? Number two, a kid needs significance and purpose. They need to know they're unique, and they need to know that they've been gifted by God for something very specific while they're on this earth. So we're going to study Psalms 139 and Ephesians 1 this week. And finally, we're going to talk about strength and hope. Man, my strength and my hope comes from my relationship with Jesus. This is me, right? It may sound too mystic for you. You may think I'm selling you a bill of goods. Walk with me, hang with me. This is my life rhythm is spending time with Jesus, and that is where I get filled up. He is my strength and my hope. There comes a season in your kid's life where there's a transition of power. Right now, mommy and daddy is Allie, Christy, and Luke's strength and hope. I am teaching my kids. I'm coaching my kids. I'm loving my kids. All of these things. I am Luke's strength and hope. I am his hero. He loves his daddy. Guess what he wants to be when he grows up right now? He wants to be a pastor when he grows up. I'm trying to beat it out of him. But he wants to be like daddy, right? About his junior year at high school, in the senior year, there becomes a transfer of power in the Miller home. Or no, what is God saying to you? You're about to get out of our home. I'm already preparing them for that. 18, see ya, right? No freeloading, right? There's a transition of power that happens one day. So for you guys who are juniors and seniors, like, I want you to know that your strength and hope becomes your relationship with God. Like, what your mom and dad believe and why they brought you to church, now it's time for you to go, how do I step into this relationship with Jesus? How do I begin to say, hey, what is God saying to me? How do I begin to make my decisions and then suffer the consequences or benefit from the consequences of those decisions? And mom and dad, I know it's hard when you want to hang on to the control or hang on to the strength and hope that you give and you don't want your kids to hurt. But I'm telling you, I have grown the best in my life when I have experienced things through pain. And it's a transition of power. It's not on the first. It's a transition where we teach our kids, hey, listen, this is how I hope that you follow Jesus. Now, all those things, man, we want to do together. But it's all hard, right? It can be overwhelming. So here's what I'd like for us to do as we kind of wrap up this. Is I just want to spend some time praying for those of you who say, I need prayer as a parent. I need prayer. Right now I'm overwhelmed. Right now it's hard. I don't know what I'm doing. Or right now it's really good. God, Matt, please pray that it continues this way. And so with our eyes open, and we're going to pray in a second with our eyes closed, but if you're here today and you're like, I could use some prayer concerning my ability to lead my family, just raise your hand. All right, here's the deal. Keep them up, please. Keep them up. Those of you who are comfortable with, I want you to gather around those people, have their hands up, and we're going to pray for our family, right? We value our family and the next family. So keep your hands up if you need prayer. And the rest of you, I want you to gather around, and we're going to lay hands on the shoulder. Don't get weird, right? Just touch them on the shoulder, right? And I'm going to lead us in a prayer, right? If you're new, you're like, this is crazy. It's not crazy. I believe in the power of prayer. So if you need prayer, raise that hand. And if you see a hand up, just go put your hand on that shoulder. We're going to pray for people, okay? Amen. Let's pray. Now, here's the thing. We pray in faith. You listen to mommies and daddies? Two things. We pray in faith. And then when we're done praying, we walk in the direction of our prayers. We don't pray one thing and then walk another way, okay? So, Father God, we come to you today, and we ask in the name of your Son, Jesus, to give us moms and dad, us leaders of children, wisdom and understanding. Father, help us to build the house that is pleasing in your sight. Father, we pray for our kids, God, that you would protect them in ways that we can't, and that you would give us the words and the wisdom and the insight to lead them in ways that we don't think we can. Jesus, show up in our families. It's in Jesus' name that we pray and ask this. Amen.